This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the mini-sode.
That's right. We read you your mini things
right off the mini mail.
That's right.
Tiny, very small email.
Our little email inbox straight to your little ears.
Are you ready for it?
Too bad. We're starting.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Sure.
This email simply begins, Your Majesties.
Oh,
yeah,
there we go. Right? New precedent. Mm-hmm.
Finally. I know how much you love stories about psychics and weird kid stuff, so I had to tell you about my daughter, Marin. And then in parentheses, it says, like the amazing Marin McGlashan.
Oh.
So us referencing our researcher, Marin, has really rubbed off on everybody.
Love it.
So it says, our Marin is named for my husband's great-great-great-grandmother, who we hope was cool since we love the name, but no one actually knows. Her first strangely intuitive moment happened when she was 3 and our cousins texted us a picture of their new puppy. After admiring the cuteness, I asked her, what do you think they should name him? To which she immediately replied, Brody, completely out of nowhere. Moments later, they told us they had named him Bodie.
Holy shit.
Right? Kind of weird, but I didn't rush out to buy her a crystal ball or anything. A few weeks later, Marin woke up in the middle of the night really upset. When I went to her, she was crying hard, saying that she had a bad dream. And through her tears, she said, and then someone hit the car and it had to get towed. Well, little did she know, I actually had been in a car accident that night on my way home from work. I was fine, but I got rear-ended and the car did have to be towed.
What?
Mm-hmm. And I'd purposely not called home to tell my husband what happened so as not to freak out the kids. But now I was the one who was very freaked out. I didn't even think she knew the phrase.
Yeah, that's a good...
She's 3.
Yeah, that's a question for the ages.
So now I'm pretty convinced that she is somehow connected with the beyond and the evidence is mounting. One day she turned to my sister and out of nowhere said, Kiki, you're going to have a baby girl in April. Totally unbeknownst to her, Kiki was very newly pregnant and due on April 15th. Holy. But Marin had no idea. Also, she literally didn't know what April is.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She's just saying shit. She is just saying aloud what the spirits are whispering to her.
I love it.
At the time, she didn't know what she was having, but sure enough, she had a girl. There have been a few other odd instances that make me think Marin definitely has a little bit of the shine, especially when I consider how often she brings up my badass grandmother, Ellen, aka Nana, who had 11 kids, who died a week before she was born. Mm. But those are probably the most striking. Sorry if this was so long. Stay sexy and ask Marin for the lottery numbers. You guys are the best, Meg.
Oh, I love psychic kids stories or like those ones that are weird dreams stories.
Ooh. Entirely. It's so entertaining because it's real. It's like, yeah. It's real. It's very weird. There's lots of people with stories like that. And it's just so fascinating to be like, oh, you just got to Earth, which means you remember some weird stuff from before.
Right. Or you're still connected with the fucking semiverse. I don't know. With the afterlife.
Yes, the something. Semiverse. What are you writing for Marvel these days? The semiverse.
The semiverse. Is that a thing? Okay, this one's called Trujillo's Urologist Was My Abuelo. Mm. Hello, ladies and the team. I will get right into it because I don't want to waste your time. My dad is from the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo to be specific. So I spent my childhood living between a small town in South Carolina and my abuela's house in the DR. This person put a lot of phonetic spelling in this, and I appreciate that.
No, that is really nice.
Yes. Growing up, I always heard stories about El Jefe and his brutal reign. He was described as the devil by my abuela, grandmother. But my abuelo, grandfather, didn't always feel comfortable talking shit about this terrible man. This is the story that I did recently of the Mirabal sisters.
Yeah.
That didn't make much sense to me until I learned that my abuelo was one of Trujillo's personal physicians. After my abuelo went to med school at one of the few universities in the country, he was recruited by Trujillo's people to be part of his medical team. My abuelo did not want to be part of this terrible man's life, but as you mentioned in the podcast, if Trujillo asked you to do something, you did it or you died. Mm-hmm. He was never very open with us grandkids about his time with Trujillo, but he was always willing to tell us the stories about the incredibly brave Mirabal sisters and how they were and always will be a symbol of pride for the DR. My dad thinks that my abuelo was still paranoid that he could get in trouble for speaking poorly about El Jefe. My abuelo recently passed away after battling Parkinson's, so I am thankful that your podcast brought my time with him to the front of my mind. I'm currently in my first year of law school, and the only reason that I'm here is because of the bravery of Minerva Mirabal to stand up for herself, her family, and her country. She and her sisters have been the subjects of many school papers and have been central role models to my life, even though I've never met them. Thank you for shining a light on my people. We don't get many spotlights, lol. And thank you for reminding me why I'm proud to be Dominican. Gracias por todos. Thank you for everything. Elia.
Thank you, Elia, for teaching me literally five new words. And I feel like now, because of that email, I'm allowed to call it the DR.
That's right.
just by knowing you. Yes. Now we get to use that shorthand as well.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com. Goodbye.
I'm not going to read you the subject line. It just starts, warm greetings to all who read and hopefully hear this. Nice. Mm-hmm. That was classy. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. Whilst building their dream home, my parents rented a quaint little house on a small lake in Wisconsin, Powers Lake, to be exact. My three siblings and I, all under the age of 12 at the time, mm-hmm. had an absolute blast swimming and fishing in the summer, as well as ice fishing in the winter. Okay, the winter activities were not at all fun, but hey, it was an experience. So one sunny summer morning, my brother and I awoke from our cedar bunk beds to find our beloved pet hamster, Charlotte, dead in her cage. Mm. We were extremely surprised and distraught as dear Charlotte showed no signs of ailment the day prior. As my mom and sisters comforted us warmly in our moment of sorrow, we soon discovered my sister's hamsters, Gumdrop and Cream, had also passed away in the night. Mm. My mother was immediately confused because the other hamsters were housed in a completely different room. She quickly called my dad at work, who was alarmed and hastily called our landlord. Mr. Landlord had zero concern and only after much pressure agreed to call someone to see what the F was going on. This did not happen for days. When the inspector person did show up, gadget in hand, it took him only moments to turn to my mom with literal fear on his face and say calmly but firmly, "You need to gather some things and leave this house now. You have 5 minutes." Turns out we were slowly being poisoned by a natural gas leak.
Holy shit. One of my top fears. Oh my God.
I mean, here's the thing, and that is like, what an indicator.
Yeah.
If small animals are dying around you,
yeah,
that something's going down.
That's fascinating.
Frantic, we abandoned ship per instructions and stayed with my grandparents for the time being. We were likely just a couple nights away from sharing the same fate as our furry friends. My siblings and I were really too young to understand what was happening other than the pain of losing our sweet pets. Canaries in the coal mine of sorts who actually saved our lives.
They did.
I recently talked about this with my dad to make sure I got the story right and was shocked to learn Mr. Landlord only felt compelled to replace our $10 mall store hamsters as an apology. You heard and read that right. He did not reduce the rent for the days the home was uninhabitable because of, you know, poison. Sidebar, my dad added that when we moved out months later, he accused us of stealing some fishing gear that he later found in his attic. Mm. Major dick. My family may be here today on account of those life-saving hamsters, and we're so thankful for their sacrifice. Love you all, and thanks for reading. Yay, I did it. Nick P.
You did it.
Amazing story,
wow,
Nick P.
I love that. They're total life-saving hamsters.
And also to be an adult looking back on how you didn't know how close you were to, yes, something insanely dangerous because your parents like had to put on that parent face and be like, okay, grab your favorite things. Right. It's going to be so fun.
We're having
grab
a sleepover, all your favorite grandma things. And grandpa's now.
With your favorite things.
Okay, this one's called Twists and Turns with Badass Grandma. It starts, hello. My grandma was a single mother of 5 girls. She was a total badass. She raced cars with the boys, always had a smile on her face, and seemed to always have the answer to all my teenage problems. Due to her time, quote, spent with the boys, all of her daughters were fathered by different men.
Wow.
So we thought. Grandma had a great way of keeping track of who her daughters were fathered by naming her daughters after each of them. Names have changed because my aunts are crazy, and who knows what they would do if they knew I had just shared the family secret with the world of murderinos. Robin after Robert, Christina after Christopher, etc. So years go by, and most of us grandchildren have never met our grandfathers, but knew of them and where they lived. Flash forward to me doing an ancestry DNA test and not seeing my grandfather's last name appear. Oh, well, I thought. Years go by and my cousin takes a 23andMe test. She gets assumed grandfather's last name appearing. What? So we start Nancy Drewing that stuff. And we have my sister, mother, and one of our aunts take a 23andMe. Turns out my mom, who is almost 60, had thought her father was one person this whole time. And he's not. Her biological father is a man that my grandma had some fun times with at the track, and my cousin's grandfather is the one who I thought was my grandfather this whole time. So grandma just got confused.
Isn't this like the plot to Mamma Mia? Like, what's happening in this email?
I don't know, but this grandma had some fun.
Yes, she did.
My aunt who took the test has the same father as my cousin's mother. Minds were blown, new family members were found, and man, the 60s were a crazy time.
Hey.
My mother now has three half-sisters and she stays in touch with them. Her biological father has suffered a few strokes and has dementia, so he doesn't remember my grandma, but my mom looks a lot like her sisters. I wish my grandma was still alive so I could ask her what the heck, Grams. But she passed away a few years ago. I know she's wherever she is, laughing her ass off at all of this with a smile on her face. My husband and I had a daughter 4 years ago and named her Patricia after her. My grandma raised five daughters on her own, and I am so thankful to have her as my grandma Pat. C.
Oh, what a beautiful tribute. Also, I love the idea that there was a woman out there literally doing exactly what she wanted.
Totally. Racing cars and hooking up.
And just, yeah. And come what may, it's clearly she was like, I know men aren't going to help me with this, yeah. So I'll just keep doing what I want.
Yeah.
And it sounds like everyone was raised well and healthily and kind of like, you know, I don't know. I love that.
Wild, wild.
You love your grandma Pat enough to write in about her. She did it right.
Totally.
So fuck yeah.
Totally.
Here's a shorty as my last one. Subject line is follow up. Was I on the other end of the Ferris wheel story? So this is a follow-up from Minisode 319. This is a note Alejandra left for me at the top of this. Mm-hmm. Someone tells the story of being on a Ferris wheel that went into freeze. Oh, they were the ride operator. And the Ferris wheel went into a free spin after the operator had hit the emergency stop button. That operator was a teenager. It was kind of funny about why would they put a 16-year-old in charge of that.
Yes.
This email just says, quick note. One of my first childhood memories was riding a Ferris wheel with my dad in SoCal. After a long time on the Ferris wheel, my dad noticed something was off, and every spin, the weighed down felt faster and faster. My dad started yelling at the operator to let us off. The Ferris wheel operator could not let us off, and I was crying hysterically. Eventually, maybe 30 to 45 minutes later, I was let off. I was 3 or 4, so maybe 1997? Look, I'm not saying it was the same event, but I've never been on a Ferris wheel since. I fucking hate Ferris wheels. Kirsten.
Yeah, 30 to 45 minutes on a fucking Ferris wheel will make you hate them forever.
Yeah, no way are you ever getting on that stupid shit again.
No. Oh my God.
But I mean, could it be like two reflections of life, every side of the mirror of life?
Why not? I mean, there's so many murderinos. There's got to be some crossovers going on, you know?
Love it. If you've ever been on the other side, or say you're the father of one of Grandma Pat's children, we'd love to hear from you.
Definitely.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1, as in the number 1, password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye. Okay, my last one's called Hot Dog Story.
Sorry. I love a good hot dog story, sure. No matter what.
Who doesn't? It starts, hey, blesties.
Is that Christian best friend?
I think it's blessed best friends. I like that.
Do you? Sounds pretty Christian to me. I'd watch your step if I was you.
Oh no, they're going to secretly turn me into a Christian.
Oh my God, you said the magic words. Now you're Christian.
All right, Minisode 317. Karen jokingly asked Georgia for a hot dog hometown story. Remember that?
No.
Me neither. I have been patiently waiting for my window to get this hot dog story told, and it's now or never, baby. I grew up in the very rural, very sleepy town of Earliesville, Virginia. Earliesville used to have one grocery store in 2008. It has none now. It's very sleepy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
This rural grocery store was known for its strange decorations, and the best slash worst one was Harry the Hot Dog. A 6 foot tall, 200 pound anthropomorphic hot dog, you've seen this one, statue with arms and legs that was squirting ketchup and mustard on itself and licking its lips like it was getting ready to eat itself. We've all seen the statue, right?
Yes, that's right.
So creepy. I think
it's internet famous.
Okay, Harry the Hot Dog sat right outside the entrance to the store. He was something of a celebrity around those parts for his creepiness because there wasn't much else to talk about unless you're super into cows and corn.
Wait, I am.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When you went to do your shopping, the key was to not make eye contact with Harry because you would immediately be turned off from buying or eating any food. But one dark day, Harry the Hot Dog disappeared. He weighed 200 pounds and someone had managed to kidnap him from the grocery store entrance without being caught. A few days after his kidnapping, the owner of the store bought a small 2 foot replica of Harry the Hot Dog and placed it in the store with a sign that said, "Have you seen my daddy?"
Oh.
The store owner sounds pretty rad, right?
Yes.
They named Harry's son Little Frank. Little Frank was simultaneously very sad and the funniest thing ever to someone like me with a murderino sense of humor. The owner offered a reward for Harry's safe return, but he was still missing for 27 days until the police received an anonymous tip on his whereabouts. He was found buried in a wooded area outside of a trailer park.
Oh my God.
His arms, ketchup, and mustard bottles included were broken off and never found.
Why?
He was completely battered and covered in dirt and grime. I don't know.
It's so horrible.
Despite Harry looking even scarier than before the kidnapping, the owner of the grocery store proudly displayed the buried alive, zombified, limbless hot dog next to his son, Little Frank. Little Frank had a new sign that said something like, "I'm so happy my daddy is back." Despite Harry's unfortunate new condition, it was beautifully heartwarming to have the creepy family reunited. The owner also pledged to rebuild Harry's limbs and turn him into a, quote, bionic hot dog, bigger, faster, stronger. The police identified suspects, and there were some amazing quotes about the investigation in the local paper, such as, quote, "The alleged wiener nappers can expect a tough grilling by police."
Boo.
End quote. "These people will be brought to justice for their dogged ways." If I remember correctly, the police did catch the perpetrators and they were brought to hot dog justice. The store eventually closed and I don't know what happened to the hot dog father and son, but I hope they're still out there somewhere keeping Earliesville weird. Thanks to everything you do, the world is better with your podcast in it.
Aww.
Stay sexy and don't kidnap giant hot dog men away from their hot dog sons in a town where the police have nothing better to do. Love, Rachel.
Rachel, the idea that you just introduced the concept of hot dog justice into my world is something I will always be grateful to you for.
kidnapped him. Some drunk kids, for sure.
So stupid. I know I've talked about this before, but Adrian, my sister's friend, Adrian, and I really love the concept of hot dog day. And we talk about it a lot because it was a thing at my school. Mm. And of course, we went to that school and then Adrian's kids went to that school and then Adrian worked Hot Dog Day, so she was on the other side of, and so we would talk about it all the time.
Is it just like when hot dogs were served in the cafeteria or just?
Yes, it was. Well, no, so we didn't have a cafeteria. Oh. We had a snack bar. So the only thing you could buy at school, well, no brag, we got really good lunch, sandwiches from the local deli.
Oh, damn.
And then you could buy chips and then popsicles and
wow.
candy and stuff. But then once, I think it was every last Friday of the month or something, it was hot dog day. So the moms made the hot dogs and if you wanted yours with mustard, it was wrapped in yellow paper, uh-huh. ketchup, red paper, plain white paper.
Okay.
And then all the moms made cupcakes.
Oh my God.
And then they would just be set out in little bags along a table and you would slide down and pick based on the cupcake of the overhead view of what the cupcake looked
like. Did she go to fucking Hogwarts or something? This is like amazing. We never had shit like this.
It was kind of like, I think it was one of the bonuses of Catholic school, like to counterbalance being hit in the face by nuns and stuff like that.
Okay, that's a trade-off. That's a good trade-off.
So I think, yeah, it was like, you guys get a little special hot dog. So you forget about all the fucking hand-to-face combat that was happening in the grammar school classrooms.
Oh my God.
Amazing. I just think hot dogs are funny and fun to talk about.
They are. You're right.
In every way.
Send us your hot dog stories at myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. Please, we need them.
Have you experienced hot dog justice? We want to hear about it. Please send in your emails.
That's right.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our senior producer is Hannah Kyle Crichton.
Our producer is Alejandra Keck.
This episode was engineered and mixed by Stephen Ray Morris.
Our researchers are Maren McClashen and Sarah Blair Jenkins.
Email your hometowns and fucking hoorays to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
Follow the show on Instagram and Facebook at myfavoritemurder and Twitter at myfavemurder.
Goodbye.
Follow My Favorite Murder on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase My Favorite Murder merch.